I began today telling the story. I will do a lot of reading concerning that story because I want you to understand the story. See, the story of Jesus Christ is the story of your life. The story of His love is the story that you and I as Christians are to give to a lost and dying world. God did not call us to condemn the world any more than He called Christ to condemn the world. Jesus came for a purpose. You and I as Christians understand that we celebrate who Jesus is in our heart. We celebrate who Jesus is in the world. It does not matter whether the world accepts Jesus or not. It doesn't change who Jesus is. It doesn't change His love for the world. Doesn't change His love for the individual that's in the deepest ditch of life that you can imagine. The most vile human being on planet Earth, Jesus said, I love you and I've gone to the cross for you. As I said, it is story time this week to tell the story of who Jesus is. Truly is. Don't you ever use Jesus' name in past tense. Let me say it again. Don't ever use Jesus' name in past tense. Jesus is always present tense. He's either present tense on earth or present tense leaving earth, and He's present tense in heaven. You and I have been given the greatest of all gifts that any human being can ever receive. And that gift is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Godhead delivered Christ. Christ delivered to us His Holy Spirit. And it says, I want to talk to your heart. And if I talk to your heart, I want you to tell my story. Here's the story, folks, as it began some 2,000 years ago. With full and perfect knowledge, that's how and that's why Jesus entered Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. Listen to Job 36, 4 through 7. For truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Behold, God is mighty. Remember, this is Job. Remember, this is Old Testament. Remember, Jesus has always been present. He has always been in existence. There's never a time that Jesus Christ didn't exist. Jesus continues to exist in our heart and in the body that Christ wanted, that God wanted Him to be in. Total existence. Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. You hear that? You think that you're an individual that God despises? The scripture says that God does not despise anyone. He is mighty in strength of understanding. You know what that means? He's talking about how we understand. He's mighty in strength of understanding why we don't understand. He says, I'm coming to give to you truth. He does not preserve the life of the wicked. Let me read that again. He does not preserve the life of the wicked, but gives justice to the oppressed that the wicked tackle. That's why you and I are to be in prayer for our enemy. We're to be in prayer for the wicked. Because unless there is a change of heart, God Himself has said, I will not preserve their life. Let me preach a little here. Not preserve their life. You and I, because of the promise seal of God's Holy Spirit, can count it as though we are already there with Him. We're there. Those who are not preserved by the Holy Spirit will never see there. You got it? God is giving us a lesson. Those of you who say yes to my son, you're sealed. I'm sealing you in. You belong to me. And when you get through on earth with the job that I've created for you, I'll bring you on home. He does not withdraw. Oh, listen. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. But they are on the throne with kings, for he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. That's us, people. That's the Christian. Our purpose on earth was set aside at Jesus' last time in a human form walking into Jerusalem in his ministry. Jesus, the Son of God, truly does have full and perfect knowledge of his creation. Listen to John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Jesus always has been, always will be. Jesus is in the heart of those who've accepted him as Lord and Savior. What does accept him mean? Yet you believe that Jesus died on that cross. And in the process of that death, he took your stripes on his body. He took our sin upon himself. And he cried out, Abba, Father, Daddy, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. There was a purpose for that last week. There was a purpose for that walk. You and I happen to be that purpose. With full and perfect knowledge, Jesus saw the enemy of his creation launch a vicious and devastating attack. This is why. To devour the very heart of mankind. Listen to 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You ever been devoured by Satan? It's called sin. It's called falling in the ditch of life. And if you don't think you have, you've just been devoured by Satan. It's called life. It's called reality. Genesis 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Tell me he doesn't know us. We cannot even worship without evil thoughts coming into our mind. We are human beings. We are humans being conformed to the image of who Jesus himself truly is. And Jesus says, I've come for you. And I know that every thought in your human mind is evil continually. He said, I know that. But I love you. And when you say yes to me, I'll see you at supper time. I'll be with you and never forsake you. While walking on this earth, and as you prepare to leave. Let me tell you about the preparation. The preparation that God is talking about has nothing to do with you picking out your casket. Has nothing to do with how you're discussing what you want to wear when you're in the casket. Well, I've hung this aside, kids, and that way you can dress me in this when I die. I have not hung a suit aside yet. I didn't see any need of it. Randy Kidder's going to be the only one paid to mourn. But think of it this way. With full and perfect knowledge, Jesus knew that without his intervention, mankind would be lost forever. This is the reason. Acts 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Folks, pay attention to Acts 4, verse 12. That will be the scripture in the near future that will get pastors locked up. That will be the scripture that the world will bring down on the head of the church of Christ. Because you and I, as Christians, are saying and repeating the Holy Scriptures that there is no name under heaven by which you can be saved other than that of Jesus Christ, and it will be called hate speech. But it's not hate speech. It's love speech. You've just been given the name by which you can be saved. No other name has that authority. No other name has that power. It is the name of Jesus Christ. And he says, when you cry out to me, I will be there. It doesn't matter about your enemies. I can handle them. That's a promise. Do you know Jesus never broke a promise? Do you know Jesus never prayed a prayer that God didn't answer? Did you know there's a lot of praying in the scripture that Jesus is praying for us? Whoever believes, Father, keep them. Well, folks, I'm a kept man. Keep them. Protect them. Jesus entered Jerusalem with full and perfect knowledge of the required death sacrifice that he must make before his Father would forgive the sins of man. You got it? He knew with full and perfect knowledge that he was getting ready to die. But there was a purpose behind his death. You and me. Yeah. Well, preacher, we weren't even born. Folks, you are known in the mind of God and were known before time began. You're not an accident. God knows every time that you would cry out to him. He knows everything that's going on with you. And he loves us anyway. Woo! Isn't that great? He must make before his Father would forgive the sins of men. Son, this is the sacrifice. Can you imagine God watching as pure love is nailed to a cross? But that's the key of pure love. Only God could be so pure as to give to us salvation through the blood of his Son. Because he knows our hearts are evil continually. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. He already knew it. Full and perfect knowledge. He was going in at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. The local preachers. Oh, man. And that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. That's God's game plan. God does not deviate from his game plan. And his game plan also is set that says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. John 12, verse 27. Listen to Jesus cry out. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this very reason I came to this hour. Jesus had to go to the cross with full humanity, folks. He was 100% human dragging that cross. He was 100% human in order to conquer for you and for me the evil in 100% human existence. Evil continually. And he loves us anyway. But Jesus says, my heart's trouble. You know, really, Father, check it out again, would you? Is this the only way we can do this? knowing that it was. And in that cry, he said, as the word just had left his mouth, "But not my will, but thine be done." Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus had to give the life blood. Without blood, you're not alive. We agree with that, right? No zombies in here. Without the love, might be a few spiritual zombies, but that's another sermon. Think of it. Jesus said, "I've got to complete the law." Listen to me. The law had to be fulfilled. It was God's law. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So Jesus knew that he had to come and shed the blood, the everlasting blood. He had to give you and me a transfusion. He had to come. And when you walk through that door of going to the other side one day, when you pass over, I want you to know something. That Jesus Christ is going to be looking for you. He will know who you are by the clothes you wear, the blood of Christ. I will walk over. The angels will escort me to the heavenly throne. And Jesus will say, "He's one of ours." Why? Not because he's a preacher, not because he's a chaplain, not because of what he has done or what he's wearing, but because of the blood. Folks, plead the blood. It's the blood of Christ, not yours. Plead the blood. That's what this blessed week is all about. With full and perfect knowledge, Jesus always accomplishes his mission on the first attempt. He never needs a second try. Jesus went to Jerusalem to sacrifice himself for us once and for all. Who's the all? Whosoever will. Whosoever, that's the all. That's why you'll see in Scripture, I think I'll read it here in a second. That's why you see in Scripture that he said that he died for many. Well, I thought he died for everyone. He died for those who believe. We are sealed with the blood for those who believe. Hebrews 9:27-28. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. That's a second coming of Jesus, folks. Whether you're there or here, we'll be together. For all of those saints that have gone on is coming back with him. All the saints that are in the graves, the bodies will rise. The saints that have gone on, their bodies, God will glorify all the bodies. And if we're still here, he won't forget us. We may not die, but we'll be changed. That's a promise. That's what Easter is about. That's why the world doesn't want to hear the name Easter. That's why the world doesn't want to hear the name Jesus. That's why the world doesn't need, they say, a God, because they're too brilliant. Amazing. John 10:17-18. Therefore, whenever you see a therefore, look and see what it's there for. You ready? Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus never preached or taught without using the words that came to him from the Father. He said it himself. Full and perfect knowledge, Jesus became sin for all of us. This is the story. Jesus became sin for all of us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. With full and perfect knowledge, Jesus also took our deserved physical, mental, emotional, spiritual beating for us. There's not a feeling that you have that Jesus didn't feel for you. He paid the price for it. And if you stay in that feeling shape, that's your fault. Jesus offers you a way out. Why do you think he brings it to your mind? He brings it to mind so that you'll know there's a way out of this ditch. And that way is Jesus. My final scripture to read, Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 7. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. That's why Jesus went to Jerusalem that last week. That's the story. I want you to remember the story. I even gave you printouts of the scripture that I was reading. The story. You and I will see Christ. You and I will be brought into heaven. And in that bringing in, stepping over, passing over, passing on, going through the door, whatever you want to call it, I know Jesus. I may not know anything else, but I know Jesus. And I know that I'm going to be with him, because he's already with me. And Randy, it don't get any better, man. Let's pray, folks. Father, we thank you for your love and thank you for the peace that only you can give. We ask now, dear Heavenly Father, that as you touch our life, that you, dear Lord God, will give strength to each of us. You will give gladness to our heart. Father, help us to truly celebrate what Easter is all about. Thank you, Father, that next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. For in your word, we've learned that if everything is just of this world, then we are of all men most miserable. We know, Father, that if your Son had not risen, there would be no hope for humanity. Thank you for the story all week long. For in your story of your Son, we truly know he's coming again. Touch our hearts now as we make our commitments to you in Jesus' name. Amen.